You ever watch this guy on television?
You all were not telling the truth, and you should not be trusted.
Congressman Matt Gaetz, thank you for what you did for your country tonight.
Be offended with the Democratic whip, not House Republicans.
Like a machine, Matt Gaetz.
Welcome to Hot Takes. I'm Congressman Matt Gaetz. Let's talk about the news. On yesterday's episode, we discussed China and their plan to infiltrate our government and others. While Americans too often think in terms of news cycles, China thinks in terms of generations. I was joined on Sean Hannity's program last night with former acting director of national intelligence, Rick Grenell. We went into some detail on the China threat. Take a listen.
Well, if Democrats didn't have double standards, they'd probably have no standards at all. Remember, this is the party that impeached Donald Trump for a perfect call, and yet they're unwilling to take any action against a colleague for, at the minimum, a rather imperfect relationship with a Chinese intelligence analyst. But Rick Grenell is right. This is the tip of the iceberg. The Australian recently had a report of 2 million names of leaked CCP members, and a shocking number of those CCP members had actually worked their way into Western consulates in Shanghai for the United States, Great Britain, Australia. And it shows that this is an effort by the Chinese that has been undertaken for more than a decade. Remember, Eric Swalwell wasn't targeted when he was a member of Congress. He was targeted when he was a Dublin City Council member. That tells us a lot more about China than it does about Congressman Swalwell and how determined they are to try to compromise the leaders that should be acting in the best interest of our country.
If Rick Grenell, if you have a spy from China sleeping with American politicians, gets an intern in the office of somebody on the House Intel Committee, then you got the Bidens and knowing and listening to your admonition. Yeah, of course, Russia's a hostile regime. So are the Iranians. So is China. China probably, I think, the biggest security threat of all, my humble opinion. You would know more than me. And all of this is happening. Are the Bidens compromised? Is it likely all of their correspondence, maybe even Hunter's laptop information, which I hear is damning, they have all of that? Or am I just living in a spy novel?
Well, one thing that I can say is that it is not true that the Hunter laptop is some sort of Russian disinformation campaign, which again was part of Eric Swalwell and others' look over here strategy, pretending like something was bigger than what it was. Again, I just want to repeat, Russia is a problem. No one is trying to say that Russia is not a problem, but China is a crisis. And I believe, Sean, that if the Gang of Eight, which are the leaders in Congress to watch over intel, if they are not going to have a classified briefing, then we need to start having members of Congress step up, go around the Gang of Eight, and ask for this classified briefing. No more excuses that what Eric was dealing with was classified information, so he can't talk about it. The intelligence community knows exactly what the problem is, and we are having a crisis when it comes to the infiltration of Chinese spies in academia and our political circles.
You know, Matt, I don't think you really have to go too far to look at zero experience Hunter. We don't see any evidence of any experience in private equity. $1.5 billion, Bank of China, $100,000 shopping spree, Chinese national. You got this one spy sleeping with a bunch of politicians, and you got Swalwell, you know, seeing Russians everywhere and not get an answer to the question, what was the nature of your relationship? I'm not looking for the details. I just want to know if you're compromised, and I really want to know if Joe and Hunter are compromised.
Abraham Lincoln is not safe from the cancel culture. We get the story from the Daily Mail, and in the San Francisco area, a panel has decided to rename Abraham Lincoln High School because the former president did not demonstrate that, quote, black lives mattered to him. This woke renaming committee also took aim at Democrat Senator Dianne Feinstein and Teddy Roosevelt, of all people. Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. If that's not demonstrating that black lives mattered to him, I don't know what would have at that period of time. Abraham Lincoln was a pioneer, a visionary in thoughts on equality and ensuring that we elevated our humanity by treating our fellow humans a lot better. Slavery was a reprehensible practice, and Abraham Lincoln is a hero for ending it. Abraham Lincoln believed so strongly in the abolition of slavery that our nation literally went to war over it. And now it appears we'll have to go to a different kind of war against the cancel culture to be able to preserve American values and ideals and heroes like Abraham Lincoln. As trust in governments continues to wane globally, Bitcoin continues to rally and see exponential increases in value. We pick up the story from Bloomberg.com. Bitcoin has surpassed 20,000 for the first time. It's another milestone in what has been just an eye-popping rally for the controversial digital asset this year. The world's largest cryptocurrency rose as much as 3.8% to $20,154 on Wednesday, vindicating forecasts that were scoffed at months ago and leading to even higher prognostications. Bitcoin has almost tripled this year alone. So here's my hot take. Bitcoin is a libertarian concept. It's a concept of currency that is not manipulatable by government, that cannot be hollowed out or robbed by selfish, short-sighted government practices. And I expect that Bitcoin will continue to see increases in value as long as it can be utilized with, I think, greater frequency and greater ease than other types of currency. It gives it a special place in the market. So the Winklevoss twins have famously said they view Bitcoin like gold, you know, something that they'll eventually only be so much of, and that will hold its value and that will rise in value as we see volatility with other asset classes. So Bitcoin on the rally. Hope you got you some on the way. Fun little story from popscience.com. What COVID vaccine delivery is learning from Dippin' Dots, of all places. That's right, the vaccines created by biotech and Moderna and Pfizer actually require a low temperature in order for them to not degrade during transportation. And obviously the distribution of this vaccine is something our country really has to nail. And so there have been some collaborations with Dippin' Dots regarding cold supply chain movement and ensuring that you don't have product that gets below a certain temperature. So check out the popsci.com piece, and hopefully we are able to totally execute on the delivery of this vaccine at the right temperature without it degrading for the benefit of our fellow Americans. As Congress reassembles in Washington, D.C. for votes today, we're reminded that the government runs out of money toward the end of the week, and we need to reauthorize a number of programs. And frankly, there are a bunch of programs we probably should not reauthorize. But what is driving the negotiation and debate around this government funding vote is coronavirus and the need for coronavirus relief and stimulus in various ways, and the negotiations around a $900 billion package have now exploded the price tag of that, because a bipartisan group of members of Congress have stepped forward to support a $1,200 individual stimulus check. So my fellow Americans will remember there were the Trump bucks that went out toward the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic. Now a discussion of additional direct stimulus payments. And that was in a proposal that was released earlier this week that is likely to continue to get fine-tuned over the next, you know, 24, 36, 48 hours in preparation for a vote. Here's my hot take. There is no stimulus that will ever support Americans the way an open economy will. If we're always just sending out stimulus checks to individuals, businesses, you know, Boeing, Fortune 100 businesses, and we don't allow the economy to open, we're just buying time, and we're not even buying it that efficiently. My friend Congressman Thomas Massie continues to point out that we've sent stimulus checks to people who live in other countries, are citizens of other countries, who've died long ago. So it's pretty inefficient in my book to try to use monetary policy and spending policy as a substitute for a free economy. Give Americans freedom. Get the government out of their way, and we will provide our families, our communities, our country, and the world more stimulus, more prosperity than you could ever imagine. We've done it before and we can do it again, but I will not support what I've seen so far that I think is wasteful government spending, that I think puts our status as the global reserve currency at risk, and that doesn't do enough to smartly respond to this virus by protecting the vulnerable, distributing the vaccine, and then allowing resilient Americans to live free, wonderful lives. All eyes are on January 6th, where the Congress will either accept the Electoral College vote or will challenge some of the electors. The rules say that such a challenge has to be in writing and signed by both a member of the House of Representatives and a senator. What I could tell you from my behind-the-scenes discussions with House members is that House members in Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania are elbowing each other out of the way for an opportunity to challenge these election results based on irregularities and the evidence that we've seen in some of these state legislative hearings regarding how the voting process deviated from law, how people took action outside of legislative purview in changing the rules of the election. Well, we're also hearing word that Mitch McConnell has warned Republican senators against joining Mo Brooks or Jody Heiss or Andy Biggs or any other number of House members who might make such a challenge. And there are rumblings out of that Senate meeting that there was no pushback to McConnell. When McConnell said that senators should not join members of the House of Representatives, that there was tacit, I guess, agreement to that. Mo Brooks, who's been really leading the advocacy in favor of a challenge, has said that he hopes that's fake news. And again, I haven't spoken to senators since this news broke. I'm reporting to you what the scuttlebutt is on Capitol Hill. Here's my hot take. A Republican president has not been sworn in without an objection to electors in some form since 1989. Meanwhile, I'm not aware of any circumstance since then when a Democrat, a president being sworn in, has had to face a challenge to electors. And, you know, when George W. Bush in 2004 was reelected over John Kerry and there were questions about the state of Ohio, there was an objection in the House. It was joined, I believe, by Senator Barbara Boxer in the Senate. And there were a few hours of debate followed by the certification of the Electoral College. If we have debate and discussion about these irregularities, if we utilize the Congress to try to actually solve problems regarding election integrity, I think the union will hold. I don't think it's some grave attack on democracy to use a constitutional process to create an objection, to have a reasonable debate based on the facts before us, and to show the country what happened, and then let the chips fall where they may. I don't agree with Senator McConnell that it's a terrible thing for a senator to join a member of the House with concern over election irregularities. Matter of fact, I hope one does. We'll continue to follow the story and we'll continue our effort to recruit a senator. The Federal Trade Commission is finally flexing some muscle with big tech, and I'm here for it. I'm glad. It's about time. We get the story from NPR. Amazon, TikTok, and Facebook, along with other tech platforms, are ordered to explain what they do with user data. They're demanding that 9 social media and tech companies share details on how they harness the data and what they do with the information. The companies have 45 days to respond to the Federal Trade Commission's order. In a statement to NPR, one representative of a tech company said they take user privacy very seriously and they look forward to answering the FTC's questions. Data is the new currency in our world, and oftentimes we're just giving it to these tech platforms without our consent, without understanding how it's going to be used. And for some people, there might be a total willingness to share data, but it should be done with consent. It should be done with acknowledgement that goes beyond the, you know, tiny little terms of service that everybody just scrolls through and accepts. So I'm glad to see action from the Federal Trade Commission. We'll see what the answers are from the tech companies in 45 days. Thanks for listening to Hot Takes. I'm Congressman Matt Gaetz. This podcast is written, directed, and produced by a team that includes myself, Luke Ball, and Joel Valdez. Give us a hand, subscribe, perhaps give us that 5-star rating on iTunes or however you rate your podcasts on your listening platform of choice, and join us tomorrow for more Hot Takes.